Hi, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm Natalie Torres Haddad and
Carmen Hermosillo.
And today we wanted to talk a little bit about the importance of not only mental health, but obviously financial literacy, because that has a lot to do with your mental and financial health. I was fortunate enough this past year, actually last year, to do a TEDx talk on the subject. If you haven't watched it, it's called The Foreign Language of Financial Literacy. And I obviously talk about the difficulties of dealing with student debt, being able to feel alone and dealing with depression, and really what causes many people, not just in the US, but across the world, about having so much debt that they don't feel that they will ever be able to get out of it and feel ashamed by it. And the truth is, not just because I personally dealt with it, going to grad school as well, having so much debt incurred, it's that I constantly see it in my work. When I am traveling throughout the country and speaking at universities and major companies, I see people that have worked really hard to get their education and starting up their new careers, their new jobs, and they already feel like they've failed somehow because they're starting with off so much debt, and they feel that there's no resources or no one really that they can talk to. And so we know that has a lot to do with the mental health side of it. And so now that we're starting to see that it's not so much of a stigma still, I mean, it definitely is in many cultures, we need to be able to talk about this openly and not be afraid to share that, because the worst can happen where you are not, if you're not mentally healthy, everything else just doesn't work. And for me, being able to share my story on that stage was important because I understood there's other people that are dealing with it. We know that there's the highest suicide attempt rate in our country. And it's because of that student debt that we know can be very detrimental in any person's life, especially if they're starting out.
Right.
And so I kind of wanted to ask you just kind of the take. I know you've seen it, but like, what was there something that resonated with you regarding, you know, did you ever have your breakdown or something that just made you feel like, God?
Well, yeah, definitely. I always kind of take a breath when I talk about this topic because for me, it was periods up and down where I didn't have a job off and on, and I still had responsibility of paying off my student loans or having to pay a credit card, car payment, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't working. So definitely took a toll on me. There was one standout moment for me where I had to make a decision whether to pay my credit card bill, which was already like 2 months past due, or to make a car payment. And at the time, I was using my car to make money. So at that point, I had already had layered and layered of like this trauma and this like just emotion inside of me where I couldn't take it. And if you've had financial stress or stayed up about money issues, you have that feeling where you're like grinding your teeth at night and you wake up and your jaw hurts and you're like, what's going on?
Yes.
That happened to me, and along with many other things, but I soon realized that it was because, you know, of money.
Right.
And so I had to make a decision. It was either my mental health or make a credit card payment. And at the time, I think I was over the balance about $300 or so. Okay. But making the payment wasn't going to help me because the next month I didn't have the money either to make a payment. So at that moment I made a decision, you know what? I'm going to have to not make any more payments on my credit cards. I know it's gonna hurt me on my credit score. But right now I need to have like my sanity back.
Right, right.
So I made the decision like not to pay those credit cards. I knew working in from the banking industry that eventually it was gonna go to third party collections, and I kind of knew the process. And I was okay with that because I needed, you know, my sanity back.
Yeah, and I think that's the difficult part. I mean, we can joke around and just kind of like, oh yeah, this is what I went through, mm-hmm. and oh yeah, I had a breakdown. We make light of it, but obviously when you're in it, it's extremely difficult, and it's understanding that there are symptoms and there are signs that
right.
that are affected by it. It's kind of like the chicken or the egg. What came first? Like, is it the debt or is right. it the fight, the mental stuff that was going on? But for me, it was kind of that where I all of a sudden I found myself crying for no reason. I couldn't sleep at night, and the insomnia was real, and you know, just understanding that I felt so alone and hopeless and ashamed by it too, you know.
Right.
You know, I've talked about this before where we come from an industry where we're in finance. So it's kind of like, oh my gosh, I was thinking I can't share this with anyone. I should know better. I have my degrees in business and finance and international business. And how is it that I got myself in this place? But it's not something that just happens to us, right? It's not that we had the decision that this is what our debt was going to look like, our student debt. Our credit card debt, too, sometimes it's a reflection of our lifestyle. I mean, we live in Los Angeles. Let's be honest. Rent here, if you own a home as well, it's skyrocketing. It's ridiculous. So it's very difficult to be under 30% of your income will go to your living expenses. I mean, there's so many of us, and those that live in New York can totally relate, where it's like you have tons of roommates. There was a point when I remember having an apartment. It was a studio, not even an apartment, that I was technically sleeping out of the closet. It was like the bed was set up in the closet. And the wow. things that, you know, and the things that you think of, I'm like, well, we might have lived in a decent neighborhood, but I'm thinking, man, my roommate and I are living in a small little shoebox, uh-huh. and this is the norm. Being able to just cover our costs, the credit card, all these expenses that add up. And it's because no one really taught us to manage that. I mean, yeah. our parents didn't really have to deal with credit cards growing up too, right?
Right.
You know, I think.
So at that point when you were like sleeping in the closet,
yeah.
did you think this is how it's supposed to be, or did you think there's something better out there?
I knew the sacrifices I was doing back then, uh-huh. you know, as far as I'm like, okay, yeah, I could have had my own room and pay a lot more. I understood that I had an ultimate goal, so I wasn't mm-hmm. so caught up on it at the moment. But I'm not gonna lie, there was times where I would see my friends that had their big old room, or you know, they had their own place, and right. technically maybe I could have afforded that too. Mm-hmm. But looking back in hindsight, where I'm like, wow, those years of the struggle or the sacrifice or cutting back on certain expenses allowed me to save up a lot of money for my down payment on my first right. rental place. And mm-hmm. so that's something that I always tell. There's a really cool podcast out there that talks about the difference between your 20s and your 30s. And for me, I knew I had to make a lot of sacrifices in my 20s in order to have a better 30s. And
right.
and those things that I look back and I'm like, yeah, that was not an easy time, but it allowed me to do so many things that I know my friends and colleagues did not have that opportunity now in their mm-hmm. 30s. So it's very important to understand that it's whatever you're going through mentally, if you're going through depression, there's so many different aspects in it. Sometimes it can be temporary, or sometimes it's something you live with for life. I
right.
mean, there's so many people dealing with mental illnesses that it's something that you will always have to deal with, but how to manage it and understand that they're not alone, and it's understand that there are these resources. Some are free too. In LA, we have, you know, some to help you as well.
And there's so many great resources now. I love how mental health in the last couple of years has been a topic
yeah.
that people are getting more and more comfortable with.
Yeah.
But I think the next step would be to talk about finances and mental health, because
yes.
I feel like there's still some shame, especially for people who are high salary earners, and automatically you assume, oh, well, then you have all your finances in order. And that's definitely not true. I think for them, it's also important to talk about this topic so that they can know that there's people out there who are in a similar situation.
Right.
And they don't have to go through it alone. And there's
yes.
resources out there that can help them. And I think community is really important
Ugh.
When it comes to not only finances and mental health. But if you put those together, I feel like it's really powerful. I've always talked about it with my friends.
Oh, well, at least you had that conversation with your friends. Because I know a lot of us, sometimes it's difficult to have that conversation, right? Especially as women, you don't necessarily have the, like, hey, let's talk about what deals we did this week. Or, you know, are you investing in something? And for me, I have always been in a male-dominated industry where it was the norm to talk about this at lunch. And so when I would get with my girlfriends, I always felt like the oddball. I'm like, hey, are you guys thinking about buying a place or investing in
right.
this? And it was kind of like they looked at me like I was weird. And you mentioned something of just having the community. Now that there's so many apps, one of my favorite ones, it's an anonymous one, is Find Sisterhood.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, really advocate about mental health. But being able to talk about, like, hey, your shame, like, oh, my God, I have this, you know, I racked up debt and I don't know what to do. And then it's having a community, people saying, have you checked this out? You know, there's these free apps that will help you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I recommend talking to this advisor. And I think it's become easier,
mm-hmm.
but there's also so much information. Sometimes we don't know where to start.
Right.
So I think it's kind of, how do you navigate that? Right.
Yeah. And I always say, like, you start at the beginning. So I know when I do budget workshops, when I talk about budget, I always say, you know, we hear this all the time, like buzzwords, like start a budget is the way to go, but nobody tells us how do you start a budget?
And most of us hate the word budget too. So
right.
it's kind of like, what habits can we incorporate? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. It's just kind of like, what are the first things that we need to do? You know, I talk about the runaway spending a lot. It's kind of
right.
like those little dollars that can trickle into thousands of dollars. And you just said it, when you're doing these workshops, you see kind of that people just need that first step, right? Yeah. And if you hear some of the episodes prior, Norma's one of them that I really liked about her. You know, she's a patent holder, and just, you know, you invest in yourself technically too. I mean, you have to in order to do better in your career as well. But what the beautiful part in hearing that episode is that she had more opportunities to take care of her family and to be able to show other people that, you know, women can hold these patents. And she was someone that didn't graduate from high school and dealt with a lot of mental
health. I love Norma. I love her spirit and her tenacity to keep pushing forward.
Right.
And you said something about, you know, taking care of yourself first. Mm. And I feel that not only as women, but as Hispanic women, it's always your family first, whether it's literally killing you inside or physically or mentally, it's always going to be your family first.
Oh, we're taught that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and we're taught that. And at some point, I don't know where I realized, I thought, well, if I have kids, I'm definitely going to take care of myself, because if I'm not well, I can't take care of my kids. And with mental health, we always say, well, I can't see a therapist because I don't have time. I have to take care of my kids. I have to do this. I have to do that.
Yeah.
But
it needs to be a priority. I mean, the teachings of being, when I hear people say my family comes first, I'm like, no, your family should come second. You need to come first. And it's that, if you just said it, you're sick, you can't help anyone else.
Right.
And it's part of that time that you have to invest in yourself. And there's free therapy out there too. I mean, the county provides certain, if you can't afford it, besides the online apps, but I think it's being able to just have this conversation about it. And when it comes to credit card debt or student debt, there are a lot of companies that are becoming more conscious about it. And that's partly in a lot of the workshops. It's like, it's great when I see companies invest in their employees, the self-development that comes with that. It's because they know that it's a real issue that many people are dealing with. And it's, you know,
and I think the workplace is incorporating some of the budgeting workshops, because they know that having debt, the employees having a lot of debt, is an added financial stress, which then is going to hurt the company's bottom line. Because, you know, if you're having a lot of debt issues, a lot of stress issues, then you're not showing up to work. You're taking more days off. You're not as proactive at work. So I think it's also really important that, you know, the companies are able to provide these type of workshops, the budgeting workshops, or just even asking questions, you know, about finances, having a community within at work, and just being able to have a no judgment zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Understanding that we are our worst critics, and, you know, we're very hard on ourselves. And sometimes it's that we forget that we're supposed to make mistakes too. I mean, how else are we going to learn? I mean, some of my biggest failures when it comes to money, finances, you bet you that I'm going to figure out, okay, I can't do this again, or I need to figure out what is triggering me to do this. Or, you know, like, I hate it when I hear people say, oh, it's my retail therapy. I'm like, that's not therapy. And if anything, you're just going to get yourself in more debt. There's other ways to get that rush. There's other ways to release whatever you're physically or mentally going through.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't know that our mental health is being affected, because it's being covered up by so many other things, like retail therapy. And we just say, like, oh, I'm a shopaholic. No, if you're doing it every day of the week, or if you're a compulsive buyer in an area, then it's likely a symptom of something else.
And it's so easy to become a compulsive buyer. Gosh, how many times do you drive through neighborhoods and you see all the Amazon boxes? I'm not going to lie and say that hasn't happened in our home too, where I come home and I'm like, really, babe, what's going on? You know, but it's become so easy to be part of an addiction, really.
Right.
And it's kind of, how do you identify those triggers? Maybe we'll talk about that, but we want to be able to provide some resources too, because I think sometimes people say it's too expensive to figure out, you know, how to budget or how to figure out what the next step is. And there's apps that are out there, but the one of the old ones that I always liked is mint.com. Being able to know that you can just start with little things, and having that conversation with someone, whether it is an app like to find sisterhood, and just say, oh my gosh, who else is dealing with this, or I'm in a different country or in a different neighborhood, any recommendations of therapists or someone that you felt comfortable with? Because sometimes it's an overwhelming experience trying to figure out, you know, you open up the catalog of your if you have insurance too, and if you don't, having that conversation to say, where do I
go
about getting,
I know, when I started going to therapy, I didn't know where it was going to lead me to, but I know that I needed to speak to somebody who was skilled and being a good listener, right, and providing guidance. And so when I started therapy, of course, all these other issues came out, but I'm more at peace.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm more at peace with what's going on around me. Even if I can't control things, I know that I'm still in control of how I react.
Right.
And that, again, goes, you know, with my finances. I know that I have to tackle one thing first, and then the next thing. And I know when we're in debt, we kind of want to go straight into it and do it all at once and pay down everything. But there's steps to it. And right, I started with rebuilding my credit. And now it's increasing. And now that gives me the opportunity to do other things.
Right.
So now my confidence is building. So it's just taking those small steps and building up, because it's going to build your confidence, mm-hmm, and then your knowledge also, yes, of finances.
And it's temporary. You know, this is something I always tell people: you are not your credit score, right? Mm-hmm. So don't think that makes you who you are. Yeah. However, understanding your credit score, making sure you're keeping up and checking it at least once a year for free, you can find out and see what your patterns were. So, I mean, there's moments in life that happen to us that are really difficult. Like, you know, I talk about losing my grandparents in the same year. I could tell the months that were the most difficult for me because of certain things that, yeah, I was doing financially that I'm like, why did I spend so much money here? Or why did I forget that payment there? And right, it was because I was in a brain fog of depression and dealing with these life situations. So it's important to understand that that's part of it. Like, kind of like, okay, it's going to take time to build it, to fix any mistakes we made. And you know, eventually your confidence grows with it as well. Right. So,
and being, yeah, disconnected from your money is,
yes,
is, I think, the issue where if I don't see it, it's not happening. Mm. I just saw an interview where she's actually our friend, Melanie.
Oh, yeah.
She saw
Dear Debt Melanie Lockhart. Love her. Yes. She's the founder of Lola Retreats throughout,
yes,
the country.
Yes, she's awesome. I think she opened up an app. She saw something. I think she went to her checking account. She saw a balance that was due, and she closed it, and she didn't go back in it because she's like, if I don't see it, then it doesn't exist. Mm. But being disconnected with our money is going to lay so heavy on you, because you have like this nagging kind of shadow behind you,
right,
that is eventually going to catch up. And I think that's, I don't know, like, blind ignorance, I want to say.
Yeah, and it could be part of your money story is just kind of, right, what caused you to feel this way, that relationship towards it. Because it is. It's a relationship we have with our money.
Right.
Tons of books that we can put on the show notes of resources of helpful books that help you identify what your relationship to money is, what your money story is. And just saying that, just kind of understanding what's the ignorance is bliss that people say, right?
Right.
Well, is it really? If you can't buy anything or can afford anything or constantly dealing with debt.
Yeah, not with money, because they'll come back to you somehow.
Exactly. So, you know, you could definitely tune into some of these interviews that we've had with, I mean, and that's the biggest thing about these self-made millionaires. And I call them self-made because they weren't given money to their parents. And a lot of them had very humble beginnings. Yes. So you hear their stories, you're like, wow. But I think what's so incredible hearing their stories is, they tell you if they didn't know how to manage those few dollars, they weren't going to know how to manage thousands of dollars. And the mistakes they made with something that thought wasn't going to cost them much, they're like, great, it cost me thousands of dollars to fix that, mm-hmm, but I never repeated that mistake again, right, and then allowed me to grow from it. So being able to understand that you can take some time to learn from people that have done it and have gone through those horrible,
of course,
trials and tribulations.
Yeah,
much.
You see yourself in other people.
Right.
And I think that's what's great about us. It's that, mm-hmm, we talk a language that, you know, women our age can understand, women that have the same background as yeah, us, they can understand. I think that's, you know, very powerful.
Exactly, mm-hmm, exactly. So definitely tune into those episodes. And if you're learning Spanish or want to get more practice in it, listen to the Spanish episodes too. But
yes,
yeah, we're looking forward to sending more of these episodes this season. So stay tuned. Financially Savvy in 20 minutes.
Thank you.
See ya.
How long was that?